Greetings to each one in Christ's precious name this morning. It's been a blessing to be here. We've already heard enough, seen enough in the songs and Sunday school class, the devotions that we have enough to labor on for the week without another further message, and yet we want to look to God and look into the Word and further look to encourage one another to travel on, we might say. We are in a journey. We are, I hope, to those of us that have come to the years of accountability, we are diligently seeking our home for eternity, realizing that we're traveling this road but once. We're not home yet, but we are traveling to get there. So are we serious about where we're going? How our life is in the eyes and evaluation, we might say, of God. For a text this morning, for a message, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. We have been encouraged this morning already we were encouraged here in Sunday school class by Brother David of, you know, the tremendous need of being thankful. If we're going to arrive safely on the threshold or at the doors of heaven, we're going to live a life of thankfulness here. If we forget to be thankful, the children of Israel, Paul writes to us in one of his letters and says that, you know, when they refused to retain God in their minds, we might say, they were unthankful. And we heard about that this morning, when they, the great things that God did for them, and how quickly they forgot, we might say, to be thankful and desired the things that they had were when they were pleading to God for His help. And I trust that we're a people that dwell on being thankful. There's nobody in here this morning probably that can't find things to complain about or to murmur about or whatever. But if we need to learn to be thankful, we need to think about the things that we need to be thankful and that we are thankful for. And even then, I've made the remark that sometimes we say we're thankful for something, and yet we really don't know the blessing that we have until we don't have. I think we can reflect back over the last year, and we've always enjoyed the freedom of worship, of coming together, and we're thankful we can have that again. But there was that time when we were brought to realize this might not always be this way. It wasn't that way. We weren't allowed to come together. And I trust it brought us into a state of thinking and realizing how quickly things can change. And are we grounded on the solid rock of Jesus? I'd like to read the first 11 verses of Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and the salvation, which is effectual to the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, inasmuch that we despaired even of life. But we had this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And I'll quit reading there. But I, this morning, I came to this portion of Scripture, and I'd like to especially look at verses 8 through 11 here. We see here, and I've entitled my message this morning, Pressing On. And I had to think of that, Wednesday evening as we were together, and Brother Matthew shared in devotions, and, I had been studying and thinking about this subject of pressing on. Matthew related or said to us, we meet up with things in life that, sometimes we just almost despair, or we kind of could throw up our hands and give up. And here I see in Paul, and we have to wonder, this morning that thought was brought out in Sunday school when he talked about, of having the, we might say, a peace and a peaceable and quiet life. And here we see that Paul says that there was he met up with troubles when he was in Asia, traveling around. And I'm not sure what all those troubles were. And I kind of looked back and I saw, if we go back to Acts chapter 19 and 20, we kind of have Paul relates of some of the things that they met up with as he was journeying and traveling and preaching and establishing churches and encouraging brethren and sisters in the believers that came to the faith because of his preaching and his co-laborers and so on. And I don't know what all they faced, but here he says, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we even despaired of life. I see here, it looks to me like Paul faced something here that was just almost overwhelming to him. And in his love and concern to travel and to teach and to encourage the believers, and they were brought to a place here where they weren't sure whether they could go on. It seems to me like as I read this and as I go back and read that account of how he was there in Ephesus and how the idol worshippers and those that made the images of the idol of Diana, they stirred up the people, and he even talks about the vagabond Jews. I believe they were those that traveled, we might say almost with Paul, trying to discourage the people from faith in this Savior Jesus Christ. Tried to get the people convinced that we still need to live the old law. And so it was all working against him. But here it seems like he despaired even of life, it says. About to give up, we might say. Or maybe not so much wanting to give up, but thinking that he might not be able to go on. I don't know for sure, but it almost seems to me like maybe he thought that, life or death is almost inevitable, or they might lose their life because of what they're teaching here and the uproar that was caused there. But then we see that it says here in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. I think it seems like, I would like to think, these occasions where we meet up in life with circumstances that are pretty pressing and things that tend to discourage us, or things that tend to want to make us give up. It's maybe God's way of bringing us to an end, we might say, in a way that we all of a sudden realize. I think as Paul maybe did here, and we heard that phrase here this morning of focusing on ourselves, when we just think about our own problems that we're facing, our own struggles that we're facing, if we just focus on ourselves, yes, we see no way through. And we come to the place of giving up, or the place of discouragement. Maybe to the point of bitterness or whatever. But God has a purpose in allowing these things into our life. God's purpose is always to bring us closer to Him, or always to bring us to, as Paul says here, not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in God. Look to God and realize anew and afresh that God is just waiting. God is wanting me to call upon Him, and He's there to help. And then I also notice here in verse 11, I believe that Paul, as he came to that place in his life where he realized that he needs to trust in God and not just to focus on himself and his own abilities or what can I do to get out of this situation. He realized, as he, we may say, went to God and trusted in God and found that inner peace again, that there were those that were praying for him. He sensed that. And so he commends them that here in verse 11, that ye also helping together by prayers for us. And as we go through this message, I hope we can look at that and see the importance that we have of one another. I think Wednesday night the thought was shared here, that's why we come together to worship from time to time, is to encourage one another, to help one another. And so we want to look at that. And today I'd like to look at maybe three things, and there's probably many other things, but I have a list of three things that I kind of like to look at here as I think of pressing on. Things that I face, and I think maybe all of us face in life as we go through life from day to day, and no matter where we are in life, no matter how long we have lived a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've sought to do the will of God, you know, we're still in this earthen vessel. We're still here on earth. We still need to deal with our own carnal nature and things. But I trust that as we grow and as we mature in our spiritual lives, that our thankfulness and our sense of needing to go to God, and as we face things, we mature in those things. And yet, we are still here. And so I listed a few things here. I listed pressures. I listed responsibilities and failures or mistake. And these things, I think we probably all face these things in life. And in all of these things, as we face these things, you know, these are things that we need a power greater than our own. We need a power greater than our own to be able to face these situations that come along in life and to help us to be able to press on faithfully in fulfilling God's purpose for my life. Let us remember, I saw here this morning, and I'm new here, so I don't even know everybody here yet, but I see here this morning, I sensed a lot of youth here, and that's probably because of a reunion that I understand what's going on, but a lot of youth here. And you know, I just like to encourage you, learn young in your years to press on and to look to the right source for your help. There's so much available today. So many sources for us to look to. So many things to try and influence us and to gain control and priorities in our life. But brothers and sisters, we're heading. We're traveling a life never to return. We're traveling a life to an eternal abode. And how we live today, the choices that we make today, determines our destiny. So may we press on. And I had to think, as I thought of this, and I'm going to maybe use kind of a crude illustration, but I want the children to be able to understand. Probably every child able to, of any years, knows what it's like to ride a bicycle. And you know, we want to picture this journey that we're on as, there's one straight and narrow path, as the Word of God teaches us, that leads to the gates of heaven. There's a wide and broad road that is always depicted as going downhill to an endless eternity in the pits of hell, where there's an eternal fire burning. And as we think of riding a bicycle, as we think of pressing on, if we want to get to heaven, We're going up a grade. We're going up a hill. And so we realize, even children will realize that riding a bicycle, you can't just stop pedaling and get any further up the hill. We have to keep pedaling. We have to be putting forth an effort to go on up that hill. And so as we're on our way to heaven, we have to press on. We have to put forth an effort to keep going upward. There's exits there all along the way. There's things that we can choose to follow after. I have my carnal nature, and there'll be those difficulties and things that I've mentioned here that we're going to face. And so, you know, we can take an exit off of this uphill climb that takes an effort of pedaling and going on, and that as soon as we hit that exit, we start going downhill. When we choose to turn away from that straight and narrow path, when we choose to turn away from being obedient to the Word of God and the leading of His Holy Spirit, we start on a downhill journey. That exit takes us down under that bright, wide and broad road that is going downhill. There we can just coast along. We don't have to press, we might say. Our natural inclinations and the many things that we have in the world offers to us. And as we go down that hill, if we just kind of let it have its course, we'll pick up speed. But let us remember what's at the end of that road. Let us picture that as a big pit of fire. And you know, we can finally get to rolling so fast that maybe we're not able to stop. There's many souls have chosen a path to take that didn't take a pressing on. It's a path that we just let our nature have its way. We choose the things that don't have, that it satisfies our flesh. And many of them have traveled, and let us remember, the further down that hill we go, the harder it is to stop. And to turn around and get back on that straight and narrow path. But it's all worth it. We want a gift to meet our Savior and be with Him throughout all eternity. So let's press on. We've probably all started out on a project or an endeavorment with great enthusiasm, with confidence, and a goal, we might say, with a purpose. We started out on doing something, and this can be in natural things. It can be in our spiritual life. You know, I think back of the day when I became convicted that I'm lost without Jesus Christ. And when it wasn't without a struggle to give up my own will. And to think about being and giving and committing my life to Jesus and obedience to the Word. But when I made that choice, I was enthused about that. There was great joy in my life. And we started out with enthusiasm. We started out with a purpose. But let us remember, in anything, any endeavorment that we make, any project that we start, natural or spiritual, with time, that enthusiasm, that purpose will be tested and tried. It'll not all be so smooth. There's very, very few projects. There are very few endeavorments that we start out with that will exactly be accomplished according to the high ideals that maybe we started out with. It'll be tested. And as our enthusiasm, as our goals are tested and tried, you know, it tends to discourage us. It tends us to hinder the courage and the things and the vision that we had, the purpose that we had to start out with. And I like to think, where do we go to? How do we counter, we might say, those pressures, those things that we encounter in life? Those choices that we have. I'd like to just look at Hebrews chapter 12, three verses. I believe we have a powerful message here of how to keep pressing on in the face of whatever whatever we face in life. Here it says, and we notice this following chapter 11, but here Paul, the writer here to the Hebrews says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. You and I are on a race. You and I are on a climb if we're endeavoring spiritually to live for the Lord Jesus. We're on this uphill grade, and it takes pressing on. And so, and let us think about this. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. You know, I just like to encourage, especially the young people, but all of us. You know, we are faced with those pressures, responsibilities, and failures and mistakes that we make, maybe. And as we face those things, you know, we have an enemy that is trying to convince us. We might even have friends that are trying to make us think that, you know, it isn't worth it. It isn't necessary to live a sacrificial life like you have endeavored to live and promised to live for the Lord Jesus. But let us remember, when we choose to take our own way, when we choose to go against the will of God, it is a weight. This is not an easy road. It might look enticing. There might be all kinds of offerings out there. But brothers and sisters, that's not an easy road. The Bible tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. A person going against his better knowing has a hard life. It's not an easy life. It's a life of disappointments and setbacks. It's a life of a conscience that just plagues us. And so I'd like to just say, let's press on. And here he says, let us lay aside those things and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, suffered the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. This is when we face pressures, when we face responsibilities, and when we make mistakes or fail, and we struggle with how to deal with that, how to respond to those things. Let us look to Jesus. Let us look to the one, and let us think about what he endured, how he was faithful. And then he says in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us think about Jesus. You know, he's the ultimate example of faithfulness in the face of tremendous pressure. You know, his Father sent him here for a purpose. And even already at the age of 11, he told his parents, don't you know that I'm here to be about my Father's business? Jesus never lost focus of that purpose that God sent him to be here for. You and I are here for a purpose, and we're not like Jesus. We don't know what all God has in store for us or in mind for us or what that total purpose is, other than God has put us here to labor in the vineyard of the Church of Jesus Christ. He has put us here to be laborers together, to build, to further the kingdom of God. We know that. And so are we willing to press on? In chapter 11, we have a great cloud. And that's what he says there. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Those witnesses are the people of the Old Testament setting. And the faithfulness we see in their life. And they endured, yes, they also had many trials and things and responsibilities. You know, when I think about that, I have to think of Moses. I can't imagine the responsibility of leading whatever, a million people or whatever plus. And the people that complained and criticized and whatever. He had a tremendous responsibility, a call of God, but he was responsible to lead those people. But as he went to God for direction, God was always there to help him and to give that direction for his life as he was called to that. But we have this great cloud of people of the life, and that's the Old Testament to us, is for us to see how God is able, enables people that are faithful to him, enables them for whatever cause, whatever purpose that he had for them in life. He was able to do that. We can see that. It's for our learning. It's for our teaching us. And so we do well to look at those examples. When we think about Christ, he was rejected of his own people. How would we feel? And sometimes maybe we feel a little rejected. Maybe we feel, you know, maybe we're hurt by something that somebody says or does. But let us look unto Jesus and remember how he was faithful. You know, he was faithful because of the joy that was set before him. May you and I always have our focus on Jesus. May we always have our focus on that what is promised to us if we're only faithful and obedient to him. May it be a joy for us to keep pressing on and looking to Jesus for our direction. What is a pressure? What is pressure in our life? What creates pressure in our life? I mean, there are things that bear down on us and make us feel like we have to respond somehow. We have to do something. And just now, I like to think about, you know, we've maybe all heard many times the thought and the term of peer pressure. We face peer pressure as we commit our lives to God. I like to just encourage us to think, you know, my peer pressure is my choice. Yes, there are influences around us. There are evil influences. There are many things around us. But when I think about peer pressure, many times we're thinking about, and I'd like to say especially to the young people today, you have friends, you have those that you know, those that you rub shoulders with or whatever. And sometimes you have friends maybe that are not always too willing to be obedient to parents. And they say, well, you know, that's just the way they used to do, or that's just not necessary anymore or whatever. And so that can become a pressure to you, but it doesn't have to be a pressure to you. It is my choice if I allow that. My pressure is what I choose to let pressure me. You know, as you face that, if you have a friend that says, well, let's go do so and so, even when you know that your parents don't want you to, or when you know the church would not want you to, when you know the Word of God would instruct you to be respectful and obedient, but somebody calls you to want to do something, think on, remember Jesus, look to Jesus. He was willing to do whatever to fulfill the will of his Father. And when you look to Jesus and you decide, I don't think Jesus would want me to do that, or it wouldn't be right for me to do that, and you make a decision in your heart that I'm not going to do it, even when my friend wants me to. You know, that pressure, you find peace in your soul with God. And so don't allow that to pressure you to do something that you know you shouldn't do. Influences can pressure us, and they do pressure us. We're faced with those. Some are to do good and some are to do evil. I had an uncle at one time who wasn't faithful to his companion. He left and he lived a life of self for a number of years. He told me different times after his true repentance and return to the fold of the family of God. He told me many times, he said, don't ever quit praying for a person like me. His life wasn't easy. He wasn't out there enjoying himself like he thought he would, because he had a conscience that troubled him. He said, I was doing things and I was at places many times and I didn't feel comfortable, and he attributed it to his friends still praying for him. So don't think that choosing to go your own way is a life of ease and happiness. It's not, when you know what's right and what's wrong. He was pressured. He felt the pressure to do what he knew was right. But he didn't respond to it for many years, but he finally did. Temptations. The allurements of the world and our own carnal flesh can pressure us to go against the will of God. Go against the commitment maybe that we've made, the vow that we've made. Technology causes pressures. We had a little touch of that Wednesday night, I believe, when we were encouraged to be careful, you know, technology today. And you know, this is a struggle for some people. There's so much available. It's not all bad, but there's much bad. So let's be careful. You know, I think there's many homes being destroyed today. That how we have grown up, many of us, and most of us, a lot of us have grown up in settings where we functioned as a family. We had times, you know, I remember back fondly to the evenings spent around the supper table. And the children shared of their experience in school. Dad maybe shared of what went on in the workplace that day. And we just, there was a time of sharing together. Technology is trying to take that away from us. Everybody wants to do his own thing. So let's be careful. Let's press on in the things that are lead us and keep us going up that straight and narrow. Money and earthly possessions can pressure us to making choices that are not good, that are not pleasing in the sight of God. Responsibilities. A responsibility is something that there are duties that I need to accomplish, or we might say it's a work that I need to do. When I committed my life to the Lord Jesus, you know, it was a joy. I was excited. I was enthused. But along with that came responsibilities. Those of us that have taken companions in life, we may have gotten some responsibilities with that. As a part of the church, we have responsibilities. It's a work that God has called me by the word of God to do. He expects me to do them. We need to do them. In home life, you know, parents have a godly, biblical responsibility to their children and to one another as husband and wife. In the church, we have responsibilities to each other. I need to keep going on. Failures and mistakes are things that we experience and face in life. We all know probably what it is to fail or to make a mistake. And it is easy for me to say, well, I'm not perfect. You know, that's kind of an excuse to say that I'm not perfect. I'm not. Neither is any one of us. We're not perfect. But learning to deal with my mistakes, to deal with my failures, maybe of carrying out responsibilities or whatever, learning how to deal with them in a productive way, it takes the help and power of God. Our failures come in many different ways, maybe. We can fail by neglecting to do our duties, our responsibilities. I can fail by becoming upset or angry and have bitter feelings because of the mistake of somebody else. The failures that other people make, how do I respond to them? We have an enemy that does anything he can to destroy our vision and purpose, our goal that we set out to accomplish in life. The scriptures give us the necessary tools that we need to be able to accomplish or to cope and to be useful despite our mistakes and failures, in spite of our responsibilities and our pressures. The first one I've listed here is to look to Jesus, as we just read in Hebrews. Jesus is our burden bearer. Jesus is the one that wants us to come and cast our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. He wants to help us. As we had this morning in our Sunday school class, Jesus was here in the form of a man. So Jesus knows what you and I are going through. He was tempted, the Bible says, like as we are, yet without sin. He experienced some of these things that we are going to experience as we go through life. And so, let's go to Jesus. And I thought about the verse in Matthew 11, verse 28, where it says, "Come unto me, all ye laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As we face the pressures of life, as we face the responsibilities of life, some that seem to be beyond our means, as we face making mistakes and failing, you know, Jesus is saying, come to me. Call upon Jesus. Look to Jesus. Call upon Him. Ask Him for His help. Trust in Him. He'll make a way. Doesn't matter how great the responsibility or the burden is that we have, Jesus is able to help us, and He wants to, and He will, if we come to Him. Even those that are burdened with the guilt of sin, can go to Jesus, and He's there to help us. He's there to help us overcome. He's there to help us to forgive us. We need to go to Jesus in prayer. Are we people that, again, our Sunday school class, our Sunday school lesson, the adult anyway, touched on that. Are we people of prayer? Do we pray? You know, I'll have to admit that I've had times when I didn't find peace in my life that God wanted me to have because of a lack of prayer. A lack of going to God in sincerity and in prayer, and seeking Him, trusting my own, trying to make a way for myself, thinking that I can work things out in my own life, in relation to others maybe, or whatever. But we need to go to God in prayer. We're not promised. God doesn't promise to remove all the pressures and the responsibilities that we have in life. But He gives us strength to handle them. He gives us wisdom how to face them. And He gives us peace in the storms and trials of life. We have an advocate, the Bible tells us, who is touched with our infirmities. I like to think about the sinful woman that was brought to Jesus. As we think of pressing on, Jesus, as we find in John chapter 8, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman in the act of adultery to Jesus. And they told Jesus, they said, "Here's a woman that is taken in the very act of adultery." And they tell Him what the Old Testament says that they are supposed to do, and He says, "What do you say we do?" And of course, like it was many times, they were trying to find something to accuse Jesus. But let's think about what Jesus did. Jesus finally told them, the first of you, the one of you that is without sin, cast the first stone. Because that is what would have happened in the Old Testament. And he went back to writing on the ground, I think it says. And one by one, they became convicted that, well, you know, I'm not perfect. I have sinned. And so one by one they left. And finally Jesus looked up and it was only him and the adulterous woman in the room anymore. And so he says to the woman, you know, he asks him, has nobody condemned you? And she said, no one. And Jesus' words were, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Is Jesus saying there that, well, just don't, they didn't condemn you and I don't condemn you, just go on with your life? Is he, because of his love to her, just condoning her sin? No, not at all. She says, go and sin no more. Jesus gave her another opportunity. The love of Jesus was to help her to be victorious and to overcome that sin, repent of it, and become and to live a godly and a holy life. And that's the love of Jesus for every one of us, no matter where we failed, no matter what our responsibilities are, the pressures are we face. Jesus wants us to look to Him. And He wants us to press on. And He's saying, I'll give you another chance. If you fail, if you've made a mistake, I'll give you another chance. But go and sin no more. The call is to repent and to live above sin by the grace and power of God. We look to the Word of God as we face these situations in life. We need to look to the Word of God to be able to find direction, to be able to find encouragement, to be able to give us, to help us along. Like we read here in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says this, Paul says, there hath no temptation taken you, but what is common unto men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the temptation will make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So, brothers and sisters, let's keep pressing on. No matter what we're facing, no matter what comes our way, we don't know. And you know, I think we live in a time, and we've been made aware of this more keenly than maybe ever in my life. We're living in a time that we don't know what we'll face as the people of God. In this land of freedom, in this land of prosperity, you know, we might face a different scenario than we've faced ever in my life. And it doesn't matter what it is, God will provide a way for us to be faithful if we trust in Him, if we look to Him, if we keep pressing on in obedience and submission to the will of God, to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God in our life. When God allows things to come into our life that are unpleasant, that seem overwhelming or whatever, His purpose is to refine me to live a more useful life for Him and for His kingdom. God never allows anything into my life, we might say, to push us away or cause us to turn away. His purpose is to refine my life to more purity and holiness and righteousness in using me for the work of His kingdom. We can't change some of the responsibilities that we have. But God, if we only do, and this thought was brought out this morning, if we're willing to do what we're able to do, I can't preach the Word of God, or I can't do some things the way some other people can. And if I dwell on the fact that, you know, that, and I want to be like somebody else, I'm going to be hindered from pressing on. When I'm willing to do and to work with the gift that God has given me, the talents and the responsibilities or whatever He's given me, if I'm willing to do what I can do to the best of my ability, by the grace and strength and help of God, God accepts that according to the Word of God. The important thing when we fail, when we make mistakes, is that we go to God. We acknowledge our failure. We go to God and ask and plead for His forgiveness. The Bible says that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd like to just share yet the thought that, you know, or this is my experience. When I fail, my human nature, the first thing I want to do is deny that I've failed. We don't like to admit that we failed. This is our nature. And once we're not able to deny it, then our nature is to start making excuses for why I failed or why I did this or did that. The important thing is that we come to the place and just, when we can learn to just go to Jesus, go to our fellow man, do whatever, and acknowledge our mistake. That's when we'll have the help of God and Jesus to help us to live victoriously and find peace for our soul. That's pressing on. May we do that. We need the support of one another. Let's be willing to go to our brothers and sisters when we're struggling with something and just be humble enough to admit that I would like to have some advice. I would like to have you pray for me or whatever. We need each other. The Bible instructs us in that, that we are to support each other. In Hebrews 10, verse 12, I think it is where it says, "Wherefore lift up hands, which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." We are to help each other. Sometimes my hands hang down. Sometimes my knees get feeble. I don't know how to go on. I start to become discouraged. I need the support of you. And if you're, and we're to be willing to help others that are struggling with something in their life. We need each other. As husband and wife, sometimes one or the other needs a little extra support, encouragement, or whatever. Are we willing to do that? Or are we going to only make the burden a little harder? We need to be compassionate. We need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In conclusion, I'd like to think, like along the line, God has promised to make a way of escape with whatever we face. God has made a way, and He's able to help us to escape that situation and be what He wants us to be. Be what we want to be as we desire to live for Christ. He has promised to give us peace. I think that promise, that way of escape includes the weariness of life pressures, the weight of responsibilities, and even the distress of failures. When we bring these things to Christ, He can give us peace and the courage to press on. Let's continue to press on. Let's walk on that straight and narrow way. Let's not detour and think there's going to be an easier way or a better way than the ways of God. We all want to get to heaven. We need to press on. We need to continue to be obedient to the will of God. Never allow the enemy or one of his workers to entice us to turn away from obedience to God. May God bless us. Let's kneel.